Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Our series on Job. We're going to be in this this week, next week, and the week after. So we've got three more messages, including today, that we're going to be in this series. And man, I've just had a blast. I just really felt like this is exactly what God wanted us to talk about. In fact, I was actually planning on preaching something else over these last few weeks, and I just really, a few weeks ago, just really was impressed to go through this with you together. And so, man, God has been blessing these messages over the last couple of weeks. Amen. And so, last week we talked about this. We talked about realizing, and Job realized at some point in his why me season that the great I am knew where he was. Amen? In fact, everybody say this with me. Say, the great I am knows where I am. And that, doesn't that feel good to say? Say that again. The great I am knows where I am. And Job began to see that. He said, I look for him in the north and he's not there. I look for him in the south and he's not there, but he knows the way that I take. And if you've been following along, just a little bit of background. Job goes through this in terrible, terrible season of his life. And one day he loses all of his income, all of his wealth. And he was a very wealthy man. He loses all of his children, die in a freak accident. All done by the hand of Satan. Job thinks that it's God doing it to him. But we see, and later Job comes to understand, that it was actually Satan, Lucifer, the devil, who was stealing and killing and destroying his life, which is what Jesus said the thief comes to do in John chapter 10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then Job, the attack upon Job's life even goes a step further. After losing everything he has, after losing all of his children, Job gets sick in his body. He becomes so disfigured. Bless you. He becomes disfigured, and the Bible says he's barely recognized by his friends, and he breaks out in boils and sores, and he can't find any comfort. And then the Bible says that his three friends, and what we've been looking at the last 3 weeks, are these back and forth conversations that take the majority of the book of Job. Between Job and his three friends. His three friends were supposed to be there to comfort him, but instead his friends began to condemn him and accuse him of some secret sin in his life, some reason that God had turned his back on him, some reason that God had caused all these things to happen. And this is the tension that exists in Job's life, because Job is arguing and defending himself. Not only does Job dealing with the loss that he's dealt with and just the situation and circumstances from the outside that he's dealing with, but then he has his friends accusing him and making accusations and condemning him. How many have ever felt kicked when you were down? Amen? How many have ever realized that things sometimes can go from bad to worse? And just when you think things can't get any worse, you get punched in the gut again. That's kind of what's going on between Job and his friends. We've been looking at these conversations between Job and his friends, and Job is maintaining his innocence, saying, I have done nothing wrong, and yet God is punishing me as if I have done something wrong. And his friends are saying, Job, you've had to have done something wrong. And these conversations go back and forth. And then today what we're going to look at finally, what we didn't realize as we're reading this story, as we come to Job chapter 32, we're going to be introduced to a fourth person. There's this young kid named Elihu, and he's been hanging out somewhere in the background, listening and watching this whole thing unfold. We're going to read this in Job chapter 32, verse 1 through 5, and we're going to be kind of skipping around between Job 32 and around chapter 36 and 37 today. But listen to this. Job chapter 32, verse 1 says, Job's three friends refused to reply further to him because he kept insisting on his innocence. Then Elihu, son of Barakel, the Buzite of the clan of Ram, became angry. He was angry because Job refused to admit that he had sinned and that God was right in punishing him. He was also angry with Job's three friends, for they made God appear to be wrong by their inability to answer Job's arguments. Elihu had waited for the others to speak to Job because they were older than he. But when he saw that they had no further reply, he spoke out angrily. Let's pray. Jesus, let us pray right now that you will open up our eyes, open up our ears to see your word, to hear from you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will speak to each and every individual heart the exact words and the exact thing from you that we need to hear. I pray, God, that your revelation would explode inside of our heart and souls and minds today, Father, in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, that we will not just see lessons and hear a story today from a long time ago in your word, but God, I pray that we would encounter you in this place today as we seek you together, Father, because you are the God of this word. In fact, you are the word, Jesus. And I pray that each and every one in this room this morning will have a deep personal experience with you, Jesus, through your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said amen and amen. Remember that show? I think it may have been a Bill Cosby series, and maybe a couple of the guys have done it a long time ago. And I know Bill Cosby's not the most popular person anymore, but for good reason. But remember that show, Kids Say the Darndest Things? I remember watching those shows a long, long time ago. It's an old show, and they've kind of had a few reboots of it. But it is true, and every parent here knows that kids can say sometimes the funniest things. And we've got four children, two daughters and two sons, and my two daughters, Michaela and Olivia, are just growing up so fast and getting kind of to that place where they're, you know, beginning to have some opinions of their own. You know what I mean? And some opinions that sometimes I want to choke them for. You know what I'm saying? And Olivia especially. Olivia has, for a very long time, since I remember, has, in fact, Luann posted a picture yesterday on Facebook. It was kind of a throwback of a few years ago of just something Olivia had said. It just captured her personality perfectly. And Luann said, the sass has always been strong with this one. And it's very true. Olivia's got a very little, you know, she's very sweet, but she'll just kind of tell you what's going on. So it's amazing how she can kind of, kids can put you in a place. Olivia put me in my place a few weeks ago. I don't know if you know this about me, but I sometimes think of myself a little greater than I should once in a while. You know what I mean? Like sometimes, I know this is so stupid, but sometimes I look around the room, not this one because you guys are scary, but sometimes I look around the room and I'll just think to myself, I could take everybody in here. Some of them at the same time, probably. I just think that. And one day I was just being silly in the living room, and something was on TV, and I was like, I'd kill that guy, I'd destroy him, I'd knock him out, or whatever. And Olivia just looked at me, and she goes, you know, Dad, you're not as tough as you think you are. It's from my little 8-year-old, or 9, 10, I don't know how she was. 10? She's 10. Yeah, that sounds right. Sorry. I've got four kids. It's hard to keep track of all those numbers, man. I can't even remember how old I am half the time. Listen, and so she goes, you're not as tough as you think you are, Dad. And I was just like, I didn't have anything to say. Like, I tried to make words come out, but the only thing that, you ever had this, you try to say something, but the only thing that comes out is, that's like what happened. I was just like so kind of stunned that she was able to see through all of my bravado and foolishness and go, you're just not as tough as you think. And she really kind of put me in my place and humbled me a little bit. And I'm like, you know what, Olivia? Shut up. No, I'm just kidding. And so, and that's kind of what happens in this story. Job and his three friends are arguing back and forth, maybe for a couple of days. We really don't know how long this process is going on, but Elihu's kind of listening to all this in the background, and we know that he's a younger man. And so, in fact, he said, I was waiting to let the older people speak because I assumed that my elders would have the wisdom to deal with this situation. He said, but you guys have not answered the question and dealt with this the right way. He said, so now I'm going to speak, and a younger person begins to put kind of some of the older generation in their place a little bit, and that's what happens in the story. Elihu, listen, we're going to see this in a couple of weeks, because next week God actually shows up on the scene and speaks, and then we're going to kind of see the conclusion of the story of Job and what happens there. But here's the thing: at the end of the story, Elihu is the only person that God doesn't rebuke. We're going to see some things that Elihu says, and Elihu's the only person that God doesn't correct when he is going to show up and speak, which tells me that Elihu, even though he may not be 100% right, he was the closest one to the heart of God on the issue. He was the closest one to speaking what the Holy Spirit was wanting to say and wanting to do through that situation. And he happened to be the younger, not the older. And so Elihu begins to speak, and he's full of wisdom. Everybody say full of wisdom. And there are two really important things about Elihu's wisdom that I want to share with you. The first is this. We saw this in verse, let me see where it said here. Verse 2. I'm sorry. Verse 7. Chapter 32, verse 7. Listen to what he says. He says, I thought those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age. And so part of Elihu's wisdom was this, is that he waited for others to speak, and he waited and gave himself an opportunity to listen before he spoke his opinion. So I want you to listen to this very carefully. And when you're dealing with someone, if you're dealing with a friend, a family member, a coworker, someone that's going through a why me season, and maybe God's giving you an opportunity to help, or maybe you're dealing with someone that you don't know very well, or maybe you're kind of listening like Elihu is, listening to a conversation, and you have all sorts of things you want to say. Listen, follow the wisdom of Elihu and wait to be heard. In fact, here's what Elihu's wisdom was this. By waiting and listening, listen to me close, he earned the right to be heard because he first invested the time to listen. Amen? I've got to earn the right to be heard, and I can't do that unless I'm willing to invest the time to listen. This is one thing I believe. Not necessarily this church specifically, but the capital C, the church as a whole, and Christians as a whole, I think, are really, really kind of bad at. And what I think aggravates people sometimes about believers and Christians is that we feel like we have all kinds of stuff to say. I mean, bless God, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. I read this Bible every single day, and I have all sorts of knowledge and revelation, wisdom, and all these things. And that's all very well. That's all very good. In fact, listen to me, guys. As the church, we ought to have the answer. Amen? And in reality, we do have the answer. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart, that we are the hope of the world. This Red Life Church is the hope of Brookville and Franklin County to see Jesus and come into the kingdom of God. Amen? And not just our church, but all every other gospel, Bible-believing church. We are the hope of the world. We have the answer. The problem is we are often wanting to give the answer without waiting to earn the right to be heard. Amen? And Elihu earns the right to be heard by investing the time to listen. And by investing the time to listen, when he begins to speak, even though he's younger and the others should be older and would be assumed to be more wise than Elihu, they stop and listen to what he has to say because he respectfully earned the right to be heard. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, earn the right to be heard. Listen, I've got to earn the right to be heard. Amen? I got to earn the right to be heard in somebody's life. I can't just go up to some stranger and start telling them how they're supposed to fix their life. In fact, even somebody, I should be careful about even intruding, I think, into other people's affairs, even unless it's someone that I have a relationship with. If we're just, you know, we're just kind of casual acquaintances, come on, somebody. I need to earn the right to be heard in somebody's life. Amen? Now, it's not meaning not to speak. And certainly if God gives you word and gives you something to say, you need to be obedient to that, and you need to do that. But listen, you may need to find a way to do that so that you'll be heard. And so that when you do speak, your wisdom doesn't just bounce off of deaf ears because they're like, who is this clown coming up here talking to me? Amen? Amen? So sometimes before I say what I need to say, I may need to ask some questions. What's going on with you, man? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Come on, amen? And so I earn the right to be heard by investing the time to listen. The second thing that Elihu does that I love about Elihu, and this is the hard part, because we've read, man, there's like, it's like almost 30 chapters of Job and his friends back and forth, and they're really just kind of circling the same issues over and over and over again, and nobody's moving and nobody's changing their opinions. But here's the thing, Elihu sits back and listens to all that, and listen to what Elihu says in chapter 32, verse 7 and 8. He says, I thought those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age. But, everybody say but. But there is a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them intelligent. Sometimes the elders are not wise. Sometimes the aged do not understand justice. So listen to me and let me tell you what I think. This is something really important about Elihu. Elihu was able to hold on to the wisdom of the Spirit of God on the inside of him in spite of what he heard on the outside. Does that make sense? Elihu's heard this argument back and forth this whole time, and yet he stays reserved and stays unswayed by what he knows is to be true. Amen? And he realizes this is a real key thing, he realizes this, that just because someone is more mature than me or older than me or whatever else doesn't necessarily mean that they have the right issue on the subject. Amen? And I want every single one of you to listen to me close. I want to say this carefully because I believe 100% that I need the voice of elders and more mature people in my life to speak into me and to correct me and to point things out to me when I need to be pointed out, does that make sense? I need some people who have gone on a few years ahead of me who have cleared the path a little bit to show me the way once in a while. Amen? But at the same time, I've also got to be able to hold on to what I know God has spoken to me and what I know to be true and what I've seen from my walk with God and my time with the Lord. I've got to be able to hold on to that when what someone's speaking to me goes another way. Amen? Come on, somebody. So listen, I know I've said this before, but listen, just because someone believes something sincerely doesn't make it true. You can believe something sincerely and be wrong. Amen? And grandma and grandpa may mean well, and they may have a heart of gold, and they may believe something sincerely, but they may be wrong. Amen? Just because you heard it at church before doesn't mean it was 100% right. No matter how sincere it was. Unless it was this church. If you heard it in this church, 100% right. I'm just kidding. Amen. And it's scary, and man, it makes me just want to sometimes, I don't know the word, it breaks my heart really to see people who have been inundated with bad theology and bad teaching, and they just continue to hold on to it day after day, year after year, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and never break free. And they're inundated with theology that's keeping their walk with God dead. Amen? Well, I don't know why I'm just going to this church. You know, my mom, my grandpa went to this church, and his grandpa built this church. This is not for getting you people and saying you should all come to this church or all leave another church. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you are sitting in a church that is dead and you haven't felt the Spirit of God in years and you haven't been challenged to grow and produce and go further in your walk with God in years, listen to me. Can I tell you something? That is a dead place who don't know it yet. Get out! Amen. Unless you know that God has told you to stay and bring life there, friend, get out. Amen. And get someplace where you're going to grow. And get someplace where you're going to be challenged. And get someplace where you're going to be pushed to go further in your walk with God. Amen. That may be here. That may be somewhere else. That's totally fine. I want everybody to be where God has called them to be. Amen. And Elihu holds on to the wisdom that he knows God has in his life. And here's the wisdom of Elihu is this. Elihu was able to see the situation in a way that Job and his friends couldn't, or that they simply wouldn't. Does that make sense? See, in reality, Job and his friends really saw Job's situation through the same lens. They saw Job's situation through this filter of everything good and bad comes from God. So if God loves me, he does good things to me, and I'm blessed. And if I do something wrong, God's going to hate me and bring bad things into my life. And Job and his friends are seeing the situation from the same place. But they're just arguing because Job, his lens is causing him to say, God is doing this to me, yet he knows he's done nothing wrong. And Job's friends say, God is doing this to you, Job. You had to have done something wrong, and they can't see it. But Elihu comes on the scene and sees it differently. Can I tell you something? Listen, every one of us need people in our lives who see the world differently than we do. Amen? Every church needs people who see the world differently and we can come together and do something great for God. Amen? We all need people in our life who can see something a little differently, who can see a situation a little differently than we do. If we don't do that, then guess what? If we don't intentionally welcome people into our circle that hear things a little differently, see things a little differently, then guess what? What happens is we all just sit around congratulating ourselves, patting each other on the back, telling each other we're right all the time. Amen? If all of your friends see the world the way you do and you just sit around telling each other that you're all just right all the time, can I tell you something? You may need to invite someone else into your circle. Come on, somebody. Amen? Amen? We want to see people from all age groups be used of God in this church. Amen? That's what we have. So we have students and teenagers on the worship team. We want to have them serving in nursery and area. We want to raise them up and have them involved. Why? Because we need a different perspective of a younger generation. As we continue to grow, and as God continues to bless, and as this church continues to reach people, guess what? We need to always be looking at who we're bringing up. And listen, we need to let them, listen, we've got to let them speak what God's placed in their heart to speak and through the lens that they have. Amen? You know what we want to do so many times is I want to put my filter on you. You know what I mean? I want to take the way I see the world, and I want to put those same lenses and goggles on you so that you'll see it the way I do. That way we can just walk through community. We can just walk through life together. This is kind of weird, but we'll just walk through life together, and we'll just see everything the same way. So when you see the sky blue, when I see the sky blue, you'll say, that's right, it's blue. When I see this is red, you'll say, that's right, it's red. And we'll never have any disagreement. But I've got to come here. Yeah, we're going to hold hands. This is going to be really awkward and fun. Michael's so glad I'm not calling him out to do this right now. So what I need to do is I need to invite somebody over to my circle that has a totally different lens on. So that when I say, man, look at that blue sky up there, he can say, you know what, it is blue. He said, but I also see some other shades of orange and red and purple, and it's really cool. And then I can go, oh, you know what? If I'm open to it, and if I can say, no, Cody, put my lens on, see it blue like me, what I can do, no pictures of any of this right now. I just want to say, don't be taking pictures of me. This is not picture time, okay? I don't know what's going on. I got a little nervous. See, I saw some phones out. Look, but what I need to do is to let someone else in my circle with a different, and instead of trying to put my filter on them, I need to listen to the filter that they're speaking with, and then I might be able to go, oh, you know what? I didn't see it that way before. But you're right, there's all kinds of other shades up there. That's awesome, that's beautiful, that's amazing. God put that in there too. And thanks for pointing, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Sit down. Yes, sit down. I've got to allow other people in my circle that see through a different lens than me. And listen to me close. When I'm going through a why me season, when I'm going through a season that I don't understand, is really a time where I will appreciate a voice of someone who may see it differently than I do. Because at that point, they'll be able to point out some things that I am either not willing, not wanting, or just unable to see. And that's exactly what happens with Elihu. And this is the reason. Now, here's the catch. Here's the caveat. Elihu said, there's a spirit within me. The Holy Spirit of God is inside of me. And that's what's allowing me to speak and what's allowing me to see. Listen, when you're in a why me season, the best friend that you can have is someone with the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Someone who knows how to hear God. Someone who knows how to discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. Someone who knows how to rightly divide God's word and how to rightly look at a situation and be able to discern what God's will is. Amen? If you've got friends speaking into your life that don't have any wisdom of God, that don't have any hope, listen, that's a voice that you may need to block an ear to. Especially in a why me season. Especially in a season where things are happening and you don't understand what's going on and your season is changing. Because you might find yourself with a bunch of people like Job who really are just going through life with the same lens and refusing to hear anything else. And they're just bringing Job down. Amen? I need somebody in my life with the Holy Spirit. Amen? With the wisdom of God. So Elihu begins to see what they don't want to see, and he begins to say what they don't want to say. And this is a couple of things that Elihu saw that they couldn't. Are you guys with me this morning? couple of things Elihu saw. The first thing Elihu was able to see that no one was able to see yet is he was able to actually see Job's problem. Now, up until this point, you know, we've been looking at this that Job is the victim and Job has done nothing wrong. And that's not necessarily the case. Job was a good man. Job was a righteous man. God loved Job and had blessed Job more than any other person on the earth, but Job was not a perfect man. And I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful that in the Bible, God gives you examples of imperfection? Amen? If all God showed us was perfect people, we would all give up. But God, time and time again through his word, shows us the imperfections of the people. And here's what's amazing. He shows us their imperfection, and yet still he uses many of these people in great, great, great ways. Amen? Moses was an imperfect man, and God blessed him and used him. David was an imperfect man, and God used him and blessed him. The only perfect man that we ever see in the Bible was Jesus. Amen? He saw Job's problem. Job chapter 35, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read it. Then Elihu said, "Do you think it is right for you to claim I am righteous before God? For you also ask, what's in it for me? What's the use of living a righteous life? I will answer you and all your friends. Look up into the sky and see the clouds high above you. If you sin," this is so good, "if you sin, how does that affect God? Even if you sin again and again, what effect will it have on him? If you are good, is this some great gift to him? What could you possibly give him?" Here's Job's problem. We see it in verse 3, just as plain as day. Job asks, what's in it for me? What's the use of living a righteous life? This is Job's problem. This is Job's mistake in his why me season. Listen to me close. Job began to cop this attitude like this. What was the purpose of me serving God for all those years and giving all that I did and sacrificing day in and day out and praying day in and day out? And he says this again and again throughout his arguments. He says, if my fate is going to be just like the sinner. And Job begins to say several times, he begins to make arguments like, listen, if I'm going to share the same trouble as the sinner, I might as well enjoy the sin. If we're both going to be doomed to the same time and circumstance. And this is Job's fault. This is what Job began to see his following Jesus as some sort of gift that he was offering God. And Elihu comes on the scene and says, whoa, 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 whoa. What effect does sin have on God in heaven? Amen? And we need to understand that. Listen, when I sin, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't affect God's ability or who he is on the throne. Amen? And let me just take that another step further. Listen to me. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Conservative, Constitutional Party, whatever else is out there. It doesn't matter if you vote for Gary Johnson, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or whatever other third parties out there. Can I tell you something? In a couple of months, no matter who the United States elects as the president, it will have no bearing on who God is on the throne. Amen? What goes on here does not somehow alter heaven. What we want to do is allow heaven to alter this. Amen? And we sometimes get it twisted and get it backwards, and Job got it backwards. Job was like, I'm giving all of this to God. And man, can I tell you something? I've had that attitude in my life before. God, I'm tithing. I'm showing up to church. I'm going to life group. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm not watching any dirty movies. I'm not surfing porn. I'm not cussing and cursing. I'm being nice to people. I'm not yelling at my kids. When there's a traffic jam, I let 4 or 5 cars go in front of me before I go and claim my spot. I'm such a nice person. I'm doing all these good things. And I've even as a preacher thought, God, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm standing up day after day and declaring your word to your holy people. How could you let these things happen to me? Now, I know you've thought the same things. And Job began to act like what he was doing was some great gift to God. And Elihu says, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What do you have to give to him? Everything you have, you got from him to begin with. Who do you think you are? I wonder that sometimes. Who do we think we are? That we are not gonna face the same circumstances and try. You know, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Amen? Meaning that God is not going to cause it to rain over a sinner and be dry over someone who's living righteously. Amen? In fact, you remember the story, the parable Jesus told of the wise and the foolish builder? He said there were two men that built a house. One person went, dug down to the rock and built his house upon the foundation. The other person built his house upon the sand. And then the Bible says the rain came and the storm came and battered both houses. And the one on the sand fell and the one on the rock remained. Amen? So listen, just because I build my house upon the rock doesn't shelter me from the rain. What it does is give me a foundation to stand against the rain. Because, baby, the rain is gonna come. Amen? But Job had this way of thinking that I'm doing some great service to God. Listen to me. When you show up to Red Life Church, you're not doing some great service to God. When you give your tithe and offering, you're not doing some great service to God. But I lifted my hands in worship this week. And now I'm having a bad day. This isn't fair. God, haven't you seen my sacrifice? I went up front last Sunday. I have never done that before, but I went up front. Oh, God, I've done so much for you. I've given you my all for 35 seconds in an altar call. I closed my eyes and I blocked out the world for 30 seconds. I've given this great sacrifice. Come on, somebody. How many know we think like that sometimes? I know I do. I went to church. I gave up my Sunday morning. I gave up 2 hours and sat in church and listened to that idiot talk all kinds of stuff and what he was, give you all this to you, God, and now these bad things are happening in my life. No, friend. You gave up 2 hours? Jesus gave you everything. Amen. By his grace and goodness and mercy, the only reason we have 2 hours to give a week is because he allows it. Come on, somebody. The only reason we wake up in the morning and draw breath is because the grace of God has allowed it. Come on, somebody. The reason, listen. I have not given God anything. If anything, the only thing, if you can even look at it as me giving anything, the only thing that I've done is return to him that which was already his. Amen? And so Elihu was able to see Job's problem. And it's this, that Job was obviously in some way, shape, or form serving God with a selfish heart, with what's in it for me. If I'm good enough, if I'm smart enough, if I serve God enough, if I give God enough, he will shelter me from the storms of life and bad things won't happen to me. Listen. That may be enough to get you to God, but listen. Are you listening? Listen. If I am serving God out of a selfish motive, which is I'm only serving God so I don't go to hell. I'm only serving God so that he'll make my life better. I'm only serving God so that he'll get me out of the mess I'm in. I'm only serving God for blank, 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 blank. If I do this for God, he will do this for me. X, Y, Z, it's an algebra problem. It makes sense, right? It's very logical, very understandable. Listen, if that's the only reason I'm in this, listen, if that's the only thing my faith is made of, I will not be able to stand a why me season. And my faith will fall. And if I don't recognize it and realize it and let God fix it, then I will point to heaven and blame God that he didn't work. And I'll leave church, I'll leave God, I'll quit following Jesus, and years later, you'll be sitting around a bar going, well, I went to church one time, but all that Christianity is just a bunch of garbage because, you know, this and this and this happened, and I was such a good person. And it's a faulty thinking. It's wrong thinking. And I'm not trying to minimize your pain or your trials or your season. I know that we go through things sometimes that absolutely hurts, like that is absolutely like going through hell. I get that. But here's what I'm saying. I've got to understand I'm serving God not so that He'll keep me out of stuff. I'm serving God simply because He's God and He's worthy of it. And He's God whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, He's still God. Amen? And I've realized that He's King, He's God, and I'm not. And that's why I'm serving Him. Amen? And yes, 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 God is a rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11 and 6. He's a rewarder of them that seek Him. But I don't seek Him simply to get the reward. Friend, He is the reward. And anything else that comes is simply just blessing on top of that. Amen? A why me season will force me to ask myself the question, am I serving God for Him or for His stuff? Peace, grace, mercy, all that good stuff, purpose, destiny, fulfillment, whatever the stuff is you're after. And listen, the stuff is great, and it's all part of the gifts of God, but I can't serve Him for the stuff. He's enough all by Himself. Amen? I love the line of that song we sang at the very end there that we've sang a few times in the bridge. It says, "You're enough. You're enough for me." You know, why me seasons cause me to realize that God is enough. He's really all that I need. I may lose some stuff, and I like the stuff, but I can lose that. He's still good enough to serve all by Himself without any stuff on it. Come on, somebody. Amen. So he was able to see his problem. The second thing Elihu was able to see that Job and his friends were unable to realize is Elihu was able to see that God was speaking through Job's why me season. Amen? Listen to this. Job 33:14. He says, "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams and visions of the night when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds. He whispers in their ears and terrifies them with warnings. He makes them turn from doing wrong. He keeps them from pride. He protects them from the grave, from crossing over the river of death." Let me show you this other scripture. Job 36 and 16 says, he said, "God is leading you away from danger, Job, to a place free from distress. He is setting your table with the best food, but you are obsessed with whether the godless will be judged. Don't worry. Judgment and justice will be upheld." What is he saying? He's saying, Job, listen. Not only are you got this kind of thing a little twisted here. He said, but God is speaking to you through the why me season, and He's speaking to you to lead you away from danger. Amen? So I can understand. Through every season, good and bad, through every why me season and every praise God season and every other season in between, listen to me, God is speaking every day. In fact, the Bible says that He has new things to say every single day. His mercies are new every morning, the book of Lamentations says. Amen? Isaiah said, "I wake up every day as one being taught. I turn my ear to listen," around Isaiah chapter 45. Every day, God has something to say to you, regardless of the season and the circumstance that you find yourself in. The question is, will I open up my ears and listen? Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, "God is speaking." Tell him right now. Look at your neighbor and say, "Right now, God is talking. He's talking right now." And man, tomorrow morning, when you've got to get up after a long, crazy weekend of doing all kinds of family activities and a busy weekend, how many have had busy weekends where you need a couple days in the week to recover from your weekend? You know what I'm saying? But you don't get that. Monday morning is going to come, and that's why Monday morning is so terrible. And so Monday morning, when you're rushing to get the kids off to school and trying to grab something to eat before you get to work and whatever else, and life is crazy and hectic, and you're feeling like, man, why me? Why is I going? Why is it so hectic? Why is it so tough? Guess what? God's talking then. God's talking. God is speaking. when you get a phone call that you didn't expect that wrecks your world and turns your world upside down, listen to me. If you'll listen, God is speaking. God is always speaking. God will speak and use every circumstance, every season, every trial, every trouble, every tribulation, everything that I face in this world. God will, God doesn't necessarily cause it, but God will use it and redeem it to speak something to my life. Amen? You say, well, what's the big deal? Here's the big deal. Many times in my life, what I need to get me from point A to point B is a word from Him. Amen? And sometimes the reason the why me season lasts so long is because I begin to get bogged down in the stuff of the season, and I can't. And that's what Job says, or Elihu says. He says, Job, God is leading you to a place free from distress. He's leading you away from danger. He said, but you're so obsessed with why the wicked aren't judged and why you're facing the same thing that you feel like they should be facing that you're not able to hear what God is saying. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, God is speaking. And so what was God speaking specifically to Job? It was this. God used this season, listen, to get Job off of his path of faulty thinking. God used this season to literally turn Job's whole theology upside down. We talked about this before. Job writes the book. And if you go back to Job 1 and 2 and the discussions between, and we see this thing happen in heaven between Satan and God, Job wrote about that. And so what happened? How did Job know to write about that? Because some point later, God told it to Job. So God used this why me season to open up a whole other world of the spirit and things happening in the heavenly realms that we didn't know about. He used that to speak that to Job. But he could only get that through the why me season. Does that make sense? In every why me season you go through, listen, God has something revelatory to show you. If I listen. Amen? If I listen. God uses this why me season to speak to Job and change his whole way of thinking about the fact that bad things don't come from God, that there's a devil out there that's trying to kill and destroy your life. Amen? And just because something bad happened doesn't mean God doesn't love me anymore. And that literally is flipping up their whole understanding of God. Amen? Not only that, God uses this why me season, listen, to reveal to Job some areas of his life that he needed to correct. Amen? Now listen, a test, a trial, will always reveal to me where I really am. Amen? When I'm pressed, what's really there will come out. Now I may say amen, I may say oh me, but it's the truth. Trials can be a mirror to show me where I really am. Amen. And so when I'm not having to use any energy to just make it through life, I can pretend, I can put on a front, I can put on a face, I can fool you, I can even fool myself into thinking that I've got everything on the up and up and there's no problems with me and everything is good and I'm right where I need to be. But when I've got to begin to divert that energy that I use. See, what happens is I'm diverting that energy I'm using to put up a front onto facing the attack, and when that guard comes down, that's where I really am. And then in the middle of the attack, I can look in a mirror and go, wait a minute, whoa. There's some things in my heart I need to work on. Amen? God used this why me season to reveal to Job, guess what, Job? You're doing all the right things, but you're doing some of it for the wrong reason. You're serving me, but you're serving me out of fear and obligation. You're serving me, but you're serving me out of motivated by selfish reasons of what can I do for you. You haven't really recognized me as God. Amen? God speaks that to Job through this situation. Now, none of us would elect or choose to go through what Job went through. And there's some of you in this room today, and I've went through things too that I would never have elected or chosen to go through. But I recognize that God used some of those things to speak some things into me that I now have a revelation knowledge of that no one can take away. Amen? God has used things that happened in my life to correct me onto some things that I knew I needed to change in my life. Amen? And here's the thing. Listen. If you're in a season and God is speaking to you some things that maybe you don't like, maybe you don't want to hear, and God has brought, and you need to pray that God bring you an Elihu to see things you can't see and say things you won't say. Amen? And let me just say this. Let me just read this to you. Listen, all about Elihu, because I don't want to color this the wrong way. But listen, Elihu says in Job 33, verse 7, he says, you don't need to be afraid of me. I won't come down hard on you. Another translation, he said, I won't be too harsh with you, Job. Let me say this. The person that God, listen, if the Spirit of God is speaking through you, the Spirit of God is not going to speak harshly and come down hard on you. Amen? Come on, somebody. And if the Spirit is speaking through you to someone, you need to understand that the Spirit of God does not need to come down harshly on someone. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he doesn't need any extra from me. Amen? He'll do his job all on his own. Does that make sense? But if God is correcting you, and God is maybe using a season that this is what I love, is because the enemy meant to take Job out, but God said, I'm going to take that and use it to bring you closer to me. Amen? And that's what God does through every season, if we'll let him. Okay? But if God is correcting, and God is bringing some correction, and showing you some things that maybe you don't like to see, you need to understand this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says this. It says, the Lord disciplines those he loves. Disciplines those he loves. Amen? How many of you have heard, spare the rod, spoil the child? Ever heard that? It's really not in the Bible. It's a principle from the Bible, but that's really not a Bible verse, but just FYI. But the principle is there. God did say, if you love your children, you'll discipline them. Amen. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs. Okay? Listen. Now, this is a big thing for me. Now, you guys do, listen. Schools have things they have to do, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, it's my job to discipline my children. Amen? In fact, you discipline my kids, they may have been wrong, but we're going to have a conversation. You tell me, you come to me and tell. In fact, this one time when we were pastoring Clay City, our kids were doing something, and there were really no, like, it was real, just kind of, I don't know, everybody just ran the block. It was all together, a couple houses. Anyway, they had found themselves in the neighbor's yard, and apparently something got kicked over or something. Well, this lady came out, and we were new to the town, new to the church. This lady came out and started yelling at the kids and said that she was going to spank them if they ever came and did that again. Well, then Olivia, she and Michaela were little, but they came screaming and crying, this lady's going to spank us. Now, at that point, Pastor Justin didn't exist. I could have cared less. I said, you know what? I don't care. I'll pack up and leave and find somewhere else to preach tomorrow. I don't care. You're not going to talk to my kids that way. And I went out and had some choice. I didn't cuss this lady out, but, I mean, we had some choice words, went back and forth, and I let this lady understand, listen, you come to me, I will discipline my children. If you ever threaten to lay a hand on my kids again, I'm going to lay hands on somebody, I promise you. You know what I mean? That's just the way it's going to be. Now, I'm not saying I was right or wrong. I'm just saying Papa showed up. You know what I mean? The dad in me came out, and that's just the way it is. Okay? I would never lay hands on someone else's kids. Why? Because they're not my kids. And it's not my job to discipline them. I may want to smack one once in a while, but it's not my job to discipline someone else's kids. It's my job to discipline my kids. And guess what? It's God's job as Father to discipline you and I. Amen? And you know why I really won't discipline someone else's kids? The reality is this. I don't necessarily care enough, or I'm not invested enough in someone else's children to spend the time and energy to discipline and correct them. Does that make sense? It's my job to do it to my kids. Amen? And so because I care about them and I have a responsibility to them, I'm going to discipline them. And guess what? And I've said that to say this. If God is disciplining you, it's because he loves you and cares enough about you to get you on the right track. Amen? And so God will let why me seasons come into our life and sometimes allow those, not cause those, but may possibly allow those because he says, you know what? I'm going to redeem that situation and I'm going to speak something to them that's going to maybe get them on a different path than where they are. Job was on the wrong path because Job was really in it for himself. And God said, Job, I need to correct this about you. I'm going to discipline you a little bit and correct this about you and make it right. And listen, if you're in a why me season, guess what? God may be doing the same thing to you. Not because he doesn't love you, but because he does love you and does care about you. I say, so listen, you can come to God any way you want. God doesn't care how you come to him. Drunk, high, tatted up, smoked up, jeans ripped up, stinking, nasty, dirty. All can, but listen to me. God loves you enough to not let you stay that way. Amen? God loves me enough to want to change me. To want to challenge me and to want to make me the best version that he's created me to be that I can possibly be. And he does the same thing for you. Amen? And it's not because he's being a jerk and being mean and being rude and being ugly. Because he loves you. God disciplines those he loves. So listen. When you're sitting in here, and you hear something, said that the Holy Spirit grabs and cuts you and it kind of like, oh, it's a little bit, oh, I don't like that. You know what that is? That's God saying, man, I love you enough to correct you. Amen? When you're having your devotion time and you read something in the Word of God and it cuts you a little bit and kind of makes you look at yourself and go, oh, man, I don't like that. Guess what? That's God disciplining you, saying, I love you. I love you enough to change you. I love you enough to not leave you the way I found you. I love you enough. I mean, really, how much would I really love someone if I just brought them in but never really made them better? Amen? God disciplines those he loves. And so here's the reality. We're going to look at chapter 37 as I wind down here. Can you guys give me 5 more minutes? You give me 30? No, I'm just kidding. give me like 6.5 minutes. We'll be done. Here's the reality here. Why me is the wrong question. So we get so obsessed with why. Job, why, God, do I serve you? And the same thing happens to me that happens to sinners. Why? This isn't fair. And here's what you see in chapter 37, verse 1. Listen, Elihu's, if you read the whole thing of 35, 36, and 37, Elihu, man, the spirit, the anointing is on him. He's just letting it roll. He's just getting all excited. And in chapter 37, verse 1, he says, my heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. He's been talking about how big God is, how great God is. In fact, in just a few verses before, he said, we ought to sing songs of praise to God instead of wondering where he's at and asking all these questions about why. He says, my heart pounds as I think of this. It trembles within me. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. It rolls across the heavens and his lightning flashes in every direction. Most scholars believe that probably what's happening, because in the next chapter 38, God does begin to speak. And what's happening is as Elihu is speaking, God is beginning to show up from heaven in a cloud of thunder and a storm is literally beginning to appear before Job and his friends and Elihu on the heel of Elihu's praise and on his words and on his magnifying the Lord. A storm is beginning to roll in and Elihu recognizes what it is. And so as he's saying, his voice is rolling across the thunder. Thunder is literally rolling across the sky and they're hearing it. It says, verse 4, then comes the roaring of the thunder. The tremendous voice of his majesty. He does not restrain it when he speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of his power. I want you to imagine this storm's rolling in, and what's happening is God is beginning to show up as Elihu is beginning to speak. Because finally, through this whole situation, someone is asking the right question. Why me was the wrong question. Why was the wrong question? The right question was what? Not why me and why this and why that, but what are you saying to me through this situation? And this is amazing. when someone, it's what we see in the story. I hope you see this like I do. But what I see is Elihu, when someone begins to ask the right question, God begins to answer. So listen, if you're just asking a question, you've been asking a question, asking a question, asking a question, and you're not getting an answer to it, it may just be because God, for whatever reason, in His infinite wisdom, because He is God and He is sovereign and He is King and you and I are not, He is just saying by His silence, that's not a question you need the answer to right now. But if I'll ask the right question, He'll give me the answer. And the right question doesn't seem to be why, because Job had been asking that since the beginning. But Elihu comes on the scene and says, hey, Job, quit asking why. Start asking, what are you speaking? God, I know you're speaking. What is it? And all of a sudden, the thunder begins to roll in. And God begins to speak. Stand with me all over this place this morning. So as I close, I want you to get two things. Number one, if I'm asking a question and I hear nothing but silence again and again and again, stop asking that question. Start finding the right one. Amen? The second thing is this. When I ask the right question, God will give me the right answer. Amen? What is the right question? What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying through this season? Bow your heads and close your eyes in all this place this morning. I know this has been just a little different, and this isn't like a... I don't imagine we're all going to wind up here at the altar crying like we did last week and letting the Spirit of God touch us in very deep places. And that's fine. Every Sunday is not like that, because sometimes God wants to speak something differently. And I know this is a little different way to end, a little different tone to end on today. But listen, some of us have been asking the wrong question for a very long time. And I really believe what I feel in my heart is that for some of us, a light bulb has gone off. And just the revelation of saying, okay, I've been asking the wrong question. God, what are you saying? That's the right question we're going to begin to ask. In fact, this is the challenge I want to leave us with this morning. Stop asking why. Because you know what the reality is? Even if I got the answer to why, I still wouldn't like it. It still wouldn't be enough. I would not be, because what I'm going through, I think that somehow what I'm going through would be justified if I know why. And you know what the reality is? Especially if you're going through a real deep, dark season of your life, a why me season, guess what? The why is never going to seem to be okay enough to go through what you're going through. It's never going to satisfy. You're not going to get a why answer and go, oh, okay, that's great. I will just happily go through all this mess then. No, the wrong question. Stop asking why and simply start asking what. God, what are you saying? God, how do you want to redeem this? God, what do you want to show me in this mess? God, what do you want to change about me through this mess? God, what things in my heart do I need to get right through this situation? God, what things do you want to reveal about you through this situation? Lord, what are you saying? That's the right question. Can we just make a commitment to God this morning? God, we're gonna ask the right question. Amen? We're gonna ask the right question. Because if we ask the right question, He'll give us the answer. Amen? Amen? Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I don't want to end our time today without.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.